Welcome back to a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm John, your host. We are officially halfway through the regular season. We have a trade deadline coming up. We got picks. We have a new segment called Are You Worried Yet? And this week we have the first place in his division, One Face Wonders owner and commissioner, David Glancy, with us. David, how you doing, buddy? Are you there? Did we lose David?
I muted myself.
Okay, there we are. David, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, John. It's great to be back. Awesome. I muted myself so I wasn't breathing heavily in your intro, and I guess I did it in reverse.
That's all right. It's all good. Randy had to do the same thing, so no worries. how's life? Give us a life update.
Life's good. Update-wise, oh, geez, I can't think of much. You know, got to hang out with a few of you boys last weekend celebrating Curtis's new nuptials, so that was exciting. Got to see Brian in from San Diego, and now getting ready to book travel to Charlotte finally.
Ooh, there we go. Nice. Yeah, it's always a good weekend when you get the boys together. It was a good time.
Yeah, especially the ones that live outside the city.
Yeah, for sure.
Or across the country.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's get into last week's games because we got a lot to get through. And we'll start with our acclaimed commissioner's game, the Denny Irvine's Gatorade versus the One-Faced Wonders. Tough loss for you, but tell us about that game.
Yeah, it was a tough loss. And, you know, I wanted to beat Tom. I think Tom and I have had a little bit of a back and forth here. And, you know, to the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry of Randy and Tom, I'm maybe like the Penn State hating Tom more than he hates me this year. But I wanted to beat him, Tommy O'Haley. I wanted to send a message all the way to Dublin, Ireland, or wherever he's been gallivanting around, and I just didn't get the point across. It was a tough week. I knew I was going to have an uphill battle just looking at some of the buys that I had. You know, Cooper Kupp and Stephon Diggs both on bye the first week I got him. So it was a big win, and I hope that, you know, we did score a good amount of points. We closed the gap, I think, in some of the scoring standings. But, you know, ideally, I hope that we can look at this as a motivating factor in a potential rematch, championship rematch. That's what we're telling the boys back at Wonders headquarters today.
There we go. I like that. And it's a great message. And you're 4-3 and first in the West Division, as I said. And like you said, it was a disappointing game for you, because you put up a ton of points. That's also the bright side. Another big bright side for you, DeAndre Hopkins. You got to be feeling pretty good about that trade you made now.
I'm feeling very good about that trade. And one thing that I want to say about the game with Tom is that, you know, looking at the matchups ahead of time, I felt pretty good about the chance that I had mm-hmm. and the depth that I had on my team. It was just one of those where the Burrow to Chase connection, out of all things, really killed me. Right. Burrow had 39, Chase had 29. Between the two of them, they had, what is that, like, I don't know, too many points.
That's a lot of points.
You know, 480 yards passing, 130 of those were by Diggs. Chase had two touchdowns. So, you know, at 25 yards less or something, you know, it's counting, taking out the passing yards, the receptions, and the touchdown, you know, it would have gone the other way. So,
yeah.
You know, DeAndre Hopkins, though, 15 points, and it's been somewhat of a curious point for my team this year. I feel like a lot of ways I get guys that will score a lot or get a lot of yards but won't score a lot of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So getting Nick Chubb in to me was exciting because I feel like he's a bit of a touchdown machine. But DeAndre Hopkins, I was watching that Thursday night game. He got 10 receptions for 103 yards. He was playing very, very well for his first game back, which I was a little bit nervous about, just shaking off some rust. But no touchdowns, you know?
Right. Yeah, still a massive game. But yeah, like you said, no touchdowns. But
yeah,
I mean, as far as a comparison to Zeke and, you know, delayed gratification, you waited a long time to see if he was going to be the same guy he was. And it sure looks like he is.
Yeah. And you know what? I did a quick check for Hopkins to Zeke to just get an idea of how that performance from DeAndre in his first game back compared to what Zeke's done this year. Mm-hmm. Hopkins 15 points in his first game back is higher than any week that Zeke's had all year. I think Zeke's got 14.5 as a season high. Wow. So, you know, I think the bright side is that DeAndre Hopkins is a good option for the rest of the year, and something that I wouldn't have had or would have been able to hold on to with Zeke.
Yeah. And it came at just the right time. I think I mentioned in the last pod, your team was second lowest in point totals. They are not second lowest anymore, and you might be a little more towards the bottom because it's only been 1 week, but you got a huge influx of new guys that you got to get in your lineup pretty soon here. So pretty exciting times, I would say, for the Wonders.
It is. I checked today, and we jumped from second fewest points scored to fourth highest. So I think we jumped a couple teams. And
There you go.
between looking at the roster, I got the number one and two points per game in terms of receivers, and the number two and four points per game in terms of running backs going forward. So feeling optimistic about, what's happened so far this year. And even though we lost a game, we're still in a good spot in our division.
There you go. Nice. Well, I did screenshot the point leaders last week before all the madness. So I will definitely be circling back to some of those trades to see how people moved after that crazy Tuesday. But
Yeah, Bloody Tuesday. I don't know what
Bloody
we call
Tuesday.
that. It was a big one there.
It was insane. All right. Well, let's go ahead and run through some of the other games. My shoot ran long today, so I didn't get to take a ton of notes. But the Iron City Olifants took down the technical fouls, a score of 132 to 101.5. I was pretty worried on Sunday, and I was with Chez most of the day, so he can attest to it. I was checking fantasy way more than I should have, considering that I was with like all my friends. But well, he had Eno Benjamin, who I'd never fucking heard of, put up 21 on Thursday. And then my only 1 o'clock player, Amon-Ra St. Brown, went out with a concussion in the first quarter, so he only finished with a half a point. So I was starting to wig out, and he had a bunch of 1 o'clock games, and you know how that is, just watching the score run up. But thank God the boys got it back on track. Shout out Austin Eckler, he's been on absolute fire. Kenneth Walker the third putting up 28, and how about the stones on me to put Kenneth Walker the third in over Christian McCaffrey, who I just traded a first rounder for.
Yeah,
That
for
was
real.
a scary call, but I'm glad I did it. Christian McCaffrey will definitely be in the lineup next week, but I just didn't think there would be enough time to kind of get acclimated to San Francisco. But anyway, so that pushed me up to second place in the West Division. I jumped over Didiano, and the Fowls have made it pretty clear they're tanking. So it was definitely needed to get that win. And then next, the tanking championship for Power and Vitality versus the Running Fools. For Power and Vitality, barely squeaked out a win, 83.5 to 80. And Eric, I think very strategically, did not start a defense after he was up by that score, and Brian had no players left because he didn't want to drop him to the negatives.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that point because it's really interesting. If you look at the defensive scoring for the week, in my game with Tom, the Giants had 0 points on the dot. The Buccaneers had 1 point. In your game with Chez, the Packers had 8, the Broncos had 6. And Brian and Eric, the Chargers had 2, and Tom d or Eric didn't start a defense. And then in Randy versus Didiano, Randy got 19. Everybody else was single digits. And then Didiano got -4. And I know that we've talked about defensive scoring in general this year, and we've seen it all across the board from 0 points, negative points, 1 point, and then 19 points. A pretty big disparity in last week's games. And I talked to Keegan at the wedding this past weekend because I know we've referenced the fantasy league that he's in and the keepers that they have in that league. And I just wanted to see some of the other things that made his league a little bit unique as opposed to all other leagues. And he had mentioned that they have zero kickers, zero defenses. There's no slot. There's no starting any of them. They don't deal with it. And I know that we were looking at revisiting the defensive scoring in general, but just considering how low they are versus not even playing them at all, it kind of made me think, is that something we want to consider for our league? do we see values in defenses or kickers? As like eight people, since some of the teams have a lot of talent, would we rather just mix those roles and look at adding an extra flex or something like that?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I didn't realize they didn't have defense or kickers. Yeah, I'd have to think about that. I think defense is a tough one to get scoring right because currently I think it's kind of skewed a little bit too much for the points and the yards, especially for the points. But it is such it's like an entire unit and how they perform versus just one guy, so a little bit more unpredictable there. Yeah, I maybe that's something we talk about in the off season. I will say
Yeah,
though,
I'm all ears.
I do have an affinity for the kickers because I feel like I have a pretty, I feel like I have a knack for watching the waiver wire and grabbing one of the best kickers each year. So, on a
Yeah.
selfish note, I'd like to keep that, but I don't know. I'm open to it.
Kicker scoring is more straightforward too, like extra point, all right, it's one. And then the field goals in terms of distance, you can understand how it is. And if you look at how many points a kicker scored, if you're looking at a running back and they have 8 points, you're like, oh, do they have 20 rushing yards and a touchdown, or do they have 80 yards? Like, it's pretty straightforward to do the math. Kickers are somewhat straightforward. Defenses, you need like a mathematics PhD to figure out what the possibilities could be on the spot.
Right, yeah, it's pretty all over the place, and especially like with yards, the yard totals, it makes it confusing and difficult to track. And then like if there's a defensive touchdown on the other team, there's always a question of does that count against the defense and
Yeah.
stuff like that. I don't think it
Right.
does, but I have to look it up every time, so I'm never sure.
I don't think it does because it happened to me earlier, but earlier this year, and I noticed that it didn't seem to impact me. But hey, we're always looking at ways we can get better in the Super Friends Fantasy League. We're not
Absolutely.
resting on our laurels by any means.
That's right. That's right. That's why you're the best commissioner in the world. All right.
Damn right.
let's move on to the Real Americans versus the Cincinnati Soup Cans. And once again, infuriatingly, Randy gets a very cushy matchup against the 64.5 point Soup Cans, despite having basically his entire starting lineup on bye last week. But squeaked out the win 98 to 64.5. Lamar Jackson just has not been himself, or at least the earlier version of himself, the past couple of weeks, only putting up 9 points for Diddy. That's going to hurt the negative four spot for the 49ers defense. That's not helpful. And then on Randy's side, people just showed up as needed. Mark Andrews was a goose egg. I think he might have gotten hurt. There's a Q next to his name. But regardless, you got the win. I was interested. I thought you might actually trade back Nick Chubb to the Soup Cans just for this game and then make the trade again right
No,
before the trade deadline.
I need a Chubb.
Yeah.
I didn't get the win, but I did need him, and I was just happy to get the deal done. But hey, you got to give it to Randy. After a while, he lost his first game finally this year to me, and we thought, all right, is this the end? He hasn't been the highest scoring team. His run been a fluke, but since then, he's won three straight, and he's the third highest scoring team in the league. So I have a lot more to say about him, but it's not all just he's only gotten the worst of everybody. His team's somehow showed up and scored when it's mattered. So kudos to him.
That's true. I think it's partially that he got lucky matchups to start the year, and then once he had that winning record, he's able to capitalize and trade away a little bit of his future to bolster his team a bit more. So, pretty. It's good management tactics over there, but it's frustrating given where he started. But what can you do?
What can you do?
All right. Well, that's enough of last week's games. We can go into League Pulse now. So we'll run through the standings. In first place, Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Second place. Wait one second.
It's the Real American if you're looking at all of the league.
Yes, it's interesting though. I never realized this. The on the website, the under season stats. I guess that's not sorting by total record. Okay, never mind. I guess I've been reading it wrong all year. All right, first place, Denny O'Brien's Gatorade. Second place, Real Americans. Third place, One Face Wonders. Fourth place, Iron City Olifants, 3 and 4. Followed by the Soup Cans, also 3 and 4. And for Power and Vitality, on a 3-game win streak out there. So, way to go for Power and Vitality. And then in the basement, Running Fools and Technical Fouls, both 2 and 5. Although I will say, Brian assured me, while he might be trading away anyone he can, he is not going to leave the lineup blank at all this year. He really wants to play spoiler for one of the teams that kind of went all in this year. So keep an eye out for the Running Fools. And then trade deadline, just a quick reminder, it's, as you're listening to this, hours away. It's at noon on Wednesday 26th is the deadline, not at midnight. So get your deals in quick, and maybe we'll have another Bloody Wednesday. All right. And so of all the teams, who do you see as your biggest threat right now? Or who are you, like, most afraid of?
I'd probably – well, it depends what I'm looking at in terms of in my rearview mirror or looking forward. Because looking forward, if I think that my team has what it takes to win a championship, and I'm pretty confident in putting the roster that I have, I don't think that I can look at another team and be more impressed with their starting lineup in depth. But Tom's team's been pretty incredible. I think that they started off a little bit slow, but his 837 points scored has been pretty impressive. I put up a pretty solid week against them last week with 128 and still fell short. You know, I know that there were some guys missing, but his team's consistently been scoring at really high levels over the past few weeks. You know, last week he had 130. So the week before that he had 149, and the week before that he had 110. So he's really been on a pretty impressive roll. I think that he'll be a tough person for whoever wins the championship to beat, even though he's gotten to the dance and, you know, never had a partner. He's in the past, he's going to be pretty tough. In my rearview mirror, I've had a nice spot where going into this past week, I had a cushion on Didiana. I had a 1-game cushion on him, but I knew he was tanking, and I had a 2-game cushion on you. But, you know, that's been reduced to 1. Your team's been scoring at really high output over the past few weeks, so you've gotten better. I think that I'm confident, again, with the team that I have, and having a 1-game cushion is definitely helpful. But there's a big difference between having a 2-game cushion and a guaranteed playoff spot versus, you know, just having that down to 1. You know, we play again and you beat me, you'll take the lead on the tiebreaker. So, you know, I look at every week as a must-win week for myself. And after I scroll through my score, I'll be going to the right looking at you.
Yeah, right. And what about on the other end of things, which of the bottom three teams would you least want to face? So Technical Fouls, Running Fools, or for Power and Vitality?
It wouldn't be Power and Vitality. You know, I think that their teams, they're on a 3-game winning streak, right? I think if anything, we've almost seen that. You could ask the question, was the 4-game losing streak to start the season a fluke, or is a 3-game winning streak to, you know, get to this part of the season a fluke? And I'd probably honestly say the 4-game losing streak really is more of an outlier with the team that he's got. He's got Fournette, who's been doing really well. He's got Jonathan Taylor, who should be pretty solid. Jaylen Waddle, who's a high-scoring receiver. So he's gotten a pretty strong team. Now, Eric's definitely going to feel an impact for Breece Hall getting injured.
Yeah, big time.
And maybe he's a keeper for him. He's actually worth keeping in an IR slot.
He is.
Versus his 4 quarterbacks. But I think that Eric's team out of all of those would be the one I would least want to play. Running Fools, I think they're going to be dicey. I do think that they'll trip some teams up, especially like Najee and Joe Mixon. Sure, they haven't really performed to what you would hope them to have met this year, but they could any given week, and he's still got really good receiver in Justin Jefferson. So I think that his record is maybe a little bit more fair than Eric starting off 0-4 was.
Yeah. I'd probably agree with one of those two teams being the more threatening. Like you said, those running backs for the Running Fools could pop off at any time. And I had to get rid of Mike Williams too to make one of the trades happen. So, and he's a hell of a receiver, but yeah. All right. Trade gossip a little bit. So I know you had a couple almost deals last week and then had a couple deals that you finally pushed through. Tell us about your trades last week and almost trades.
Yeah, I talked to mostly everybody in the league, I think, leading up to the trade deadline in some capacity. I honestly think the only person that I haven't talked to about a deal at all since the season started has been Tom. Randy and I completed the DeAndre Hopkins Zeke trade, and then Randy made the first move in the loaner deals here when he traded for Dalvin Cook for Eric. And at that point, Eric's three-game winning streak hadn't started. I think he might have been 1-4. So I reached out, and no one had really signified that they were tanking yet, or tank lighting, as I think he had said. And I asked, is Jonathan Taylor going to be on the block, or some of these other guys going to be on the block, just out of curiosity. At the end of the day, I thought that there were better deals for me outside of Eric's team, but definitely inquired. Chez was the first person to reach out to me after I had messaged the Discord saying that we were going to be buyers regardless of our loss, and said that Diggs and Saquon were on the block. And Saquon was the first guy that I missed out on. I mentioned I wanted him. I wanted to try to see if I could get him or sweeten some kind of deal where I could potentially get him on a permanent, if not discuss the option of a loaner. And that was when I hadn't heard a counter, and then got the group text from Chez and Tom and saw that Saquon was off the board. So, I had pretty solid receivers to the point that if I was going to make a bigger move, I wanted it to be for a running back and not a receiver. So I didn't want to move on Diggs at that point. But then, going down the board, before even you had made your deal with McCaffrey, I think we had talked a little bit about some of your players, and you had thrown Alvin Kamara out there, which kind of was a not one of the high-end guys that I wanted, but on a lower end, someone that I had a level of interest in before moving for Chubb. So again, we had talked in some capacity. Obviously, completed the Chubb trade with Didiano, and Brian had been pretty busy last week, and still probably does have some guys that I think someone in this league might want to make a move for, and we weren't able to get anything done, or they're. Wasn't the best option for each of us in those deals. So, I think that I talked to just about everybody, and I would imagine, based off the trades that Tom made, Randy made, Brian made, you made, that there's been a lot of secret discussions being made and text messages here over who's on the block or who could be on the block for the right deal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was a crazy Tuesday. But I think despite your misses, you were still able to really improve your team at the end of the day. So that's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, in terms of like running back, I mentioned that was the position I really wanted to be more aggressive for, and the three guys that I had circled as the biggest options that I wanted were in order: Chubb, then Saquon, and then McCaffrey. And I didn't think that Chubb would be an option realistically because of how good he's been for Didiano and who else Didiano had. Plus, I wasn't sure if Didiano was thinking of contending or not, or how he felt about his team. I kind of knew that McCaffrey would be on the block, but I was a little less confident with injuries, with the potential of him being traded, what that deal could look like. And I thought that Saquon would be the best potential target that I'd be able to acquire. And it turned out that I got really the best option I think I could have gotten going forward, and in my eyes at the running back spot.
Well, we'll be watching that closely to see how all these trades pan out. But
Yeah,
it'll be pretty interesting.
we'll be doing a lot of math trying to reconcile
Oh my God,
Tom's
yeah.
conditional point scoring for Saquon. Chez, so that was the funny thing. Whenever I talked to Chezen about a loaner deal for Stephon Diggs, and we had some conditions that were based off of realistically me winning some kind of money, either leading the league in points scored, winning the division, or making the championship, his initial conditions were points scored through the remainder of the year too, and I was like, I can't do this again.
It's too much math to keep track of.
It's way too much math to keep track of.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, we're going to move on to a new section called Are You Worried Yet? And basically, we're going to go through each team, and you're going to tell me why you are worried about them. And we're doing this in bunches, so that's to make it a little more interesting. So we have teams that are tanking. We have teams with worse records that I'm not sure if they're tanking or not. And then we have the championship or bust group. So you're going to tell me why you're worried about each team based off of that. So obviously for the technical fouls, you're not going to say, well, they have no shot to win the championship. That's why you're worried. You're going to say why you're worried about their future or something like that. All right. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, cool. We'll start with the tankers. We'll start with the running fools. So, David, why are you worried about the running fools?
The running fools, the number one reason I'd be worried about the running fools is that you might want to start calling them the foolish runners. This was a team that had three really good running back keepers for the foreseeable future, it felt like, and continued to add to their stable. But you know, I'm looking at their team now, and I think that they'll still get a couple wins and won't finish dead set in the basement. But, you know, I wouldn't feel comfortable bringing back Najee Harris or Joe Mixon as a keeper, mm-hmm. you know, next year. I know we're looking at things early. I wouldn't pick Tony Pollard either. And, you know, Brian had Derrick Henry at a point, and he's moved him for Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson's a really young, really good keeper option. He's still the fifth highest scoring receiver in the league. And, you know, he's got McCaffrey on loan, but I think that there's going to be a little bit of an identity crisis here. There's not a lot of really good high-end keeper options outside of Jefferson and Derrick Henry, but an injury-prone Christian McCaffrey, and I think that it's still a pretty solid team that's going to have draft pick next year, but it's not going to be a team that's going to have, you know, three franchise caliber fantasy running backs to rely on it year after year like it has.
Right. Yeah, might need to do a name change next year. The running fools has not been good to him.
No, it's almost felt like a curse.
Yeah, definitely. All right, next up, the technical fouls. Why are you worried about the technical fouls?
The technical fouls. I mean, you might want to worry with the technical fouls given Chess's history that he somehow squeaks his way into the playoffs and is in no man's land.
Right.
I don't know. So with the technical fouls, right, he's got Diggs out on loaner, and he's got Saquon out on loaner. So he should have two really good keepers returning to himself to him next year, and he's going to have some extra draft picks. So he'll have a lot to work with. But I'd look at the rest of the team and say it's a relatively uninspiring group. I mean, you've got Geno Smith at quarterback, who, granted, he started off pretty well, but I mean, he's Geno Smith. Didn't he like break his hand punching a teammate?
Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you've got James Conner, who, if you think back, was one of Chez's keepers last year, and I know he's had injury problems, but he's not been great. And you've got some just other names that if you go through the roster, they're not bad players, but they don't really inspire you as a keeper unless someone breaks through this year. So,
right.
You know, I think my biggest reason why I'd be nervous if I was him was that I'd just have to start saving some of that BNY Mellon money to think who he wants to take out for dinner.
Yeah. I like that. The one thing I wanted to mention about the technical fouls, they kind of botched tanking this year. So Randy told me he wanted Mark Andrews from technical fouls and was willing to, you know, wheel and deal for him basically. And all Chez asked for was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and now he has Clyde Edwards-Helaire, doesn't have Mark Andrews, and doesn't have the draft picks that he could have gotten. And now Randy was able to make a trade with, I don't know, he made so many fucking trades last week, but one of those trades was because he didn't have to trade any picks for Mark Andrews, so not great GMing over there.
I don't know, maybe he thought that getting another solid running back would catapult him up the standings, and
yeah.
It just has kind of done the opposite, because Helaire, if you look at him, he's pretty decent receiving option, but he's only had one game with more than 9 carries all season. So he's not a guy that's going to be your bell horse, right?
Yeah, he definitely got a little rope-a-doped on that one because he did Clyde Edwards-Helaire to get off to such a strong start. So hindsight is obviously 20/20, but did not. I don't think that trade really came out in his favor. All right. Next up, the soup cans. This is the unsure category. I think they're probably closer to tanking, but they still have a decent record. So why are you worried about the soup cans?
The soup cans, I look at them top to bottom now, and out of all teams might say, even with the trades that have been done, that they're the weakest on paper. And that's why I'd be nervous, is that sure, they're probably not going to get into the playoffs or accidentally get into the playoffs, but Lamar Jackson has gotten off to a great start. He was the number one scoring player in fantasy by a good margin, and now he's the fourth ranked quarterback. So he slowed off a little bit. And outside that, the rest of the team doesn't scream great option. He's got Cousins and Stafford on the bench. He's got a pretty good keeper option outside of Lamar Jackson and Deebo Samuel at the 11th ranked receiver. So solid options, but there's, unless if someone breaks out or he's able to find some diamond in the rough that finishes the year strong, he's got a pretty weak option in terms of keepers going in the next year. He doesn't look like he's going to contend for the playoffs this year, and he could potentially fall further down the board here. So, I know that he has two first and two second round picks next year, and he'll have a guaranteed four of the top 16 picks. So definitely a reason to be positive, and he can't screw up his keepers this year. But I mean, he almost wish he might wish he could, because he doesn't have many guys to choose from,
Yeah.
like as opposed to last year.
Right. All right. Next up for Power and Vitality. Why are you worried about for Power and Vitality?
Ooh, for Power and Vitality, I think my biggest reason why I'd be worried about them is that Jonathan Taylor has he struggled with injuries. He was the top scoring or tied for top scoring flex player in all of fantasy last year. He's totally been forgotten this year. 2022 has flown right by him. And sure, maybe he is a keeper going forward, but the Colts are just a mess in general. They've benched Matt Ryan. They announced that they benched him for the season, which like I felt like that was an unnecessary statement to make, because
That was a little weird.
they're putting in Sam Ellinger, and they're like, this is for the year. Like, what if
Yeah.
Ellinger sucks? He's never thrown a pass in the NFL. There's a reason you haven't started him before, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I wouldn't feel confident in that org right now. And he does have some pretty good keepers. He's got Leonard Fournette, who's a pretty tough, high scoring guy. Jalen Waddle's been really good this year. But in Breece Hall, he was the sixth highest scoring running back in the league. So before that, he looked great. I'm sure that he's got Dalvin Cook returning next year, but the keeper options are a little bit dicier with Hall's injury and how Cook returns and whatever's going on in Indianapolis. So, maybe he'll tank late and he'll squeak in the playoffs around 500, but I don't think that he's going to look much stronger than that, and a little bit concerned about the quality of who we can bring in next year. But it's October, we're not at Halloween yet. It's pretty tough to determine what's going to happen in the draft and free agency and with coaches and everything. So
Yeah, and I'll just add the point totals for Power and Vitality have not been there. He's third lowest in the league, and obviously chipping away Dalvin Cook isn't going to help you get more points this year. So, yeah, he might maybe he'll try to make some deals at the 11th hour, but we'll see. All right, and next up, the championship or bust group. We'll start with Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Why are you worried about Denny Irvine's Gatorade?
So if I'm Tom, why am I worried in his team? It's kind of tough. So he's got a pretty good starting lineup here. I think the two reasons I'd potentially be worried is the Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase connection is really lit up the past few weeks, and that's been a big reason why Tom scored so much. But earlier in the year, when Burrow was struggling more so, that trickled down to Jamar Chase and how he was doing, and you're losing high-end points at two really important positions. So, maybe the Bengals play a couple tough games down the stretch when it gets cold and rainy in Cincinnati, and they have some of those, 20 pass attempt, 150-yard total passing offense type of games, and neither of those guys are lighting up the scoreboard.
Right.
That could really come to bite him as much as it's helped him recently. I think the other thing that I'd be more concerned for Thomas at, like, starting lineup's really tough, and they're really putting up a lot in terms of points scored, but his bench is a little bit more concerning to me. His backup running back options are, Jeff Wilson Jr. at San Francisco, who sounds like the most generic name person of all time and isn't going to have much many as many touches with McCaffrey there. He's got Brian Robinson Jr., which is also an incredibly generic name, who plays for Washington, and I've never heard of him in my entire life. It doesn't Ramondre Stevenson,
Oh,
he had
God.
another pretty solid game yesterday, and I'll give him credit. I had a half a point lead on Tom when our game started yesterday. In the first play, I think he got a reception for half a point. I was like, well, that goes any chance I had. But I'd be more concerned that after Saquon and Derrick Henry, what happens if there's a bye or someone is out for a few games? I'm not
Right.
sure what the depth looks like there, as opposed to some of the other teams that have a little bit more of it.
Yeah. All right. I like that. That sounds good to me. All right. And next up, Iron City Olyphants. Why are you worried about my Iron City Olyphants?
Why am I worried about your Olyphants? I guess right now that you're 3-4, it would be my biggest worry that you've gotten a few games behind Randy or Tom, who are tied in first place in the league, even though you've scored a lot of points, right? Your team's pretty tough. You've got Mahomes, and you've got Eckler, who's been amazing. You've got McCaffrey, who should be really good. And then you have Kamara, who's solid, and a surging Kenneth Walker the third. So, like, I don't know. You've got pretty good depth. You've got pretty solid options at receivers. I guess my biggest concern would be earlier in the year, you were riding the highs of a high-powered Detroit Lions offense, and they've looked a lot more like the regular Detroit Lions and guys like DeAndre Swift. I know he was injured, and maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown's picked up a knock here, but some of those other hopeful guys that you could also look at in terms of depth to really rely on has cooled off a little bit. And you've still got guys like Metcalf on the bench, or Kenneth Walker the third on the bench, that are pretty solid, but
Right. Yeah.
it's maybe a little more inconsistency.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably my biggest concern. Maybe lacking a little bit of the star power that some of the other contenders have, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm pretty happy with my depth, but yeah, the star power might be lacking. All right. And next up, the Real Americans. Why are you worried about the Real Americans?
Oh, the Real Americans. I'll tell you why I'm worried about the Real Americans. I think out of all of the teams, and I know that Randy's 5-1-1 and tied in first, and then third in points scored, but out of all of the teams that we're talking about in the contenders bucket, I feel like the Real Americans still have the weakest of the starting lineups. I'm looking at his starters, and out of all of his starters, only one of them, two if you count Justin Tucker as a kicker, are in the single digits in terms of being ranked, like single digits in terms of ranking at points scored in their positions. And it's Josh Allen, he's been amazing. But Zeke Elliott, he's 18th ranked running back. Dalvin Cook, who Randy made the first loaner move, who there's guys that have had much better years, as a 16th ranked running back, and he doesn't even keep him. Mike Evans and AJ Brown, pretty solid, but 13th ranked receiver and 15th ranked receiver. They're good guys to have, but if you look at some of the really higher end options that other teams are almost dripping in or benching,
Right.
that Randy's team's a little weaker. And in terms of points scored at in terms of positions, I will say though that you got to give Randy credit that he's dialed in the right matchup week over week consistently. So
Definitely.
he's hitting all the right calls, even though he isn't always getting the best players, but they've performed when he's had them in and when he's needed them too. So, you know, I don't know how lucky he can continue to be there or if it'll eventually catch up with him, but you know, he's got a nice head start at 5-1-1.
Right. All right. Lastly, but not least, the one faced wonders. Why are you worried about the wonders?
You know, I'm going to channel my inner Mike Tomlin and say, we're not worried. We don't live in our fears, but,
okay. I like that.
I don't know. I think that my team's almost, I would say the opposite of Randy's, where I've gotten the number 2 and 4 ranked running backs. I've gotten the number 1 and 2 ranked receivers at the flex. I can play the 10th ranked running back in Aaron Jones. I can play Travis Etienne, who now that, James Robinson has been traded, he's continued to get a lot more touches and looks like he could be a really good young back. I've gotten, you know, beyond my really good receivers, DeAndre Hopkins now as an option. I've gotten Christian Kirk and Amari Cooper, who are the 11th and 10th ranked receiver. So they're better than any receiver options that Randy have in terms of where they're at this year. So I look at my team and say, I've got really good players and a lot of depth. It's just a matter of, unlike Randy, always getting it right or, you know, finding ways to win. And
yeah,
I'm going to mess up who I start which week and find a way to lose.
Right.
So, you know, that would be my biggest concern, where I've put myself as the issue and Randy as his strength versus my team is my strength and Randy's team is his weakness.
Yeah, that is always the most stressful part for me is sometimes having too many good players is more challenging, but. Yeah, it'll be interesting going forward, seeing how you stack the lineup because you do have so much power, on the bench.
Yeah, and you know what? We've made a lot of moves and sacrificed a lot of picks potentially to make it happen. So, you know, the biggest concern at the end of the day would be showing up with nothing and putting myself in a hole for next year.
Right. All right, great. Well, that was Are You Worried Yet? Thanks for doing that for us, David. Let's get on to some picks. This is your first time making picks. Are you excited?
I am excited about it. I feel like I'm the guest picker at College Game Day. And if this was a video call, I'd have to like get a cardboard cutout of someone's face to put on.
Right. Oh, my God. Maybe next year if I can expand the pod and put it on YouTube also. Maybe we can do that.
That's the budget.
Yeah.
We'll have to increase the buy-in solely for our media purposes.
There we go. That sounds awesome. All right. First up, we'll start with Denny Irvine's Gatorade and for Power and Vitality. Real quick though, I guess we'll go through my picks last week. I went 3-1, and Randy went 1-3, but he reversed the curse of the picker, and he won his game. So thank God we don't have to worry about that anymore. But so I'm 13-14-1 on the year. So I'm inching up to 500. Thank God.
That tie.
I know. It's infuriating. And I don't even know how to count it because, like, I didn't get it right, but I didn't get it wrong. So I guess that's why they call it a tie. But, yeah, fucking infuriating. All right. So first up, yeah, Denny Irvine's Gatorade versus for Power and Vitality. I think pretty clearly Denny Irvine's Gatorade has the firepower that for Power and Vitality just doesn't have. They could definitely get the right matchups. Maybe John Taylor finally goes off against the Commanders. But I just don't see where they're going to get the points. So I'm taking Denny Irvine's Gatorade in this one.
Yeah, I've got to marry you with Denny Irvine's Gatorade. You've got one team that's going all in on a title and has maybe the strongest starting lineup versus one team that is kind of on the edge there. And you don't know really where they stand. And you know, maybe Power and Vitality keep the scoreline closer than you think, but it's hard to look past Tom on this one.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's interesting. I think pretty much all the matchups are, you know, one of the lower placed teams versus the higher placed teams. So we might be pretty similar here, but that's all right. Next up, we have the technical fouls versus the Real Americans. Same kind of issue as last game, although the technical fouls, I think, have even more so committed to tanking. So they're projected 88.9. to the Real Americans, 111.5. And unfortunately, I think I'm going to agree with ESPN on this one. I'm going to take the Real Americans.
Yeah. I gotta take the Real Americans on this one too. No one in this matchup's really being hampered by a bye week, so you can't look and say that maybe Chez catches Randy off guard with who he's got out. I think if you look down the lineup, Josh Allen to Geno Smith right off the board could be a huge difference, even if some of the other comparisons like Zeke to James Conner or AJ Brown to Devontae Smith even themselves out. So I think overall Randy's team's stronger for sure, and there's too much of an edge in some of those big matchups to not pick Randy in this one.
Yep. All right. Step in step so far. All right, next up, the Running Fools versus the Iron City Olyphants. And once again, it's a tanking team versus a team that's kind of gone all in. One of my main goals of trading for McCaffrey, I kind of wanted to give it another week if I could, but I was worried about this matchup, and I said it'd be better for McCaffrey to be on my team for this matchup than Brian's, even if he's tanking. So I need to go ahead and make that deal. And I hope it pays off, and I think it will. I'm taking the Iron City Olyphants with Christian McCaffrey leading the way points-wise.
Oh, wow. That's a bold statement. Christian McCaffrey is going to go back to Brian and make him reminisce on all the good times, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say the Running Fool, or sorry, the Iron City Olyphants in this one. I definitely mirroring you probably on all four of these games, I would guess. But Brian's team, I'm looking at the point total right now. You're 104 to 72. For some reason, he's got Dak in over Jalen Hurts, even though they're both playing, and he's gotten two Chargers in his lineup on a bye. So, maybe he puts in other more competitive players this week, and Najee or Joe Mixon have a breakout game and keep it close. But the way you've been lighting up the scoreboard, plus Christian McCaffrey versus Brian, limping to the finish line. Again, Iron City Olyphants are going to get a win. They're going to move up the scoreboard, and I think by the end of this week, you're going to be firmly in that fourth place spot.
There we go. Love the sound of that. That'd be great. All right. And lastly, our game of the week, the Cincinnati Soup Cans versus the One Faced Wonders. This one could be a little tighter. We got Lamar Jackson going up against Tampa Bay. It seems like that's probably the place to be if you're a struggling quarterback to right the ship. They haven't been too great the past few weeks. Damian Pierce has been incredibly solid. I barely know who that is. But in research for this pod, I found out a little bit about him, and he's been putting up numbers, averaging 13.3, and the past 4 weeks he's put up 17, 22, 17 and a half, and 13. So another solid guy, another solid guy there. But then you look on the other side. You got Josh Jacobs, you got Nick Chubb, you got Cooper Kupp, and you have Stefon Diggs. That alone, I think, might be able to beat any team any given week. So, because of that, I'm taking the one-faced wonders in this one. David, tell us who you got.
I've got to go with the wonders. I look at myself and my team as saying, we've gotten the firepower. We've got to start Jared Goff is how things stand at quarterback. But outside of that, I think I've got the better head-to-head matchup at every single position. Nick Chubb's going to go back and, hopefully show Matt what he's missing out for the rest of this year and 2023. I've got the wonders. I've got us winning big. And I've got our team making the full statement of what our spine between Jacobs, Chubb, Kupp, and Diggs can be for the rest of this year.
Damn, there we go. Love that. That sounds awesome. All right, great. Well, I think that's all we got. But thanks for hopping on, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yeah, always a pleasure, John. Thanks for having me.
All right, I'll see you, buddy.
Take care.
That's our show for the week. Best of luck to everyone, except for Brian. This has been a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'll be in Nairobi until the 12th. So until then, I'll see you in Nairobi. Have you or a loved one been a victim of a freezing cold take by one of your close friends on a Super Fantasy Football show? Was your top fantasy star slandered in one of the episodes? Or maybe they attacked your team's chances on a given week? Perhaps they gave you a false hope about a player who turned out to be actual dog shit or cut entirely from the team? Or maybe someone just said something that was so stupidly wrong that they deserve to be embarrassed? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be entitled to emotional compensation in the form of public retaliation. If you remember hearing a take on a super fantasy football show that was so insanely wrong that it could only be described as freezing cold, then text John the title of the episode, a timestamp when the take happened, as well as a few sentences describing why the take is so freezing cold, and you may be able to get retribution in a future episode. Again, text John the title of the episode, a timestamp of when the take took place, and a brief description of why it is cold, and you may hear that frozen take in a future episode of a Super Fantasy Football Show.